From theunce.com, this is The Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. This week my guest is Matt B. of Bass Science. This Italian-born producer and DJ has traveled the world, pushing his heavy-hitting bass music on unsuspecting audiences with the aid of live drummer Devin Landau. Matt B. has put out some breathtaking releases on his own label, Made in Glitch, and is about to release another EP, Out of Step, on super label 1320 Records next week. Stay tuned for some exclusive premieres right here on the Unce Podcast.
Tell me, what kind of music were you listening to as a kid?
I think when I started listening to music, I was really into punk, the punk scene. That's actually my first experience in being a part of a musical project, as I was playing in a punk band in Europe.
Where did you grow up?
I was born in Italy, and I grew up in Italy until high school, and after I moved to UK. So pretty much my years after 16 years old, I spent those in UK and not Europe, Amsterdam and Denmark.
Okay, and did you play any instruments at the time?
I did. I was guitar player and singer in the punk band, and I remember we were having rehearsal in this studio, and there was this dub band doing rehearsal in the same place, and that really hooked me up with electronic music. And from there, I got really hooked up with the dub technique of producing music, and that kind of got me into the electronic scene pretty much.
Now, when did you decide to start creating it yourself? Were you immediately like, oh, I gotta make this dub music, or did you start listening to it and trying to seek it out more?
When I first got exposed to electronic music, I was really fascinated by bands like Prodigy, all those bands that were kind of like melting punk rock sound with some electronic elements, rave elements. And obviously, I mean, when I first got into that, I was like got smacked, kind of like figure out what was going on. I did study, I'm a sound audio engineer, actually. I studied in Amsterdam, and that really helped me a lot in terms of like knowledge, how to produce a track and how to work in a studio, how to record the instruments.
Yeah. When you first started creating the electronic music yourself, was it more in the sense of let's do it all in the studio with sampled instruments? Or were you using just straight up software to create it? And I wonder what kind of sound were you producing? Was it the heavy bass music that you're known for now? Or did you come from a completely different genre?
I think 15 years ago, there was not as many soft synths as we can use nowadays. So I would say that 80% of the sounds were made actually recorded at real instruments or external synths. So there was more audio recording involved than straight MIDI, at least in my case. As I said, I come from a guitar. I was a guitar player and singing. So I had to kind of like learn how to use all the synths. And that's where the school actually helped me a lot, try to understand. But I would say that probably my best experience was actually to work with people that were already in the scene and trying to collaborate with them so that to learn new skills.
Speaking of that, tell me how you met Steve Nalepa and began collaborating with him.
So in the summer 2007, I've been booked to play at Symbiosis Gathering north of San Francisco. It was at Angels Camp. It was September 2007, and I had a few other gigs on the West Coast as Matt B. And at that time, I was already chatting with Steve. We've been chatting for quite a while. I licensed a few of his tracks on some compilation I was working on. So we were kind of like friends, and we decided to, while I was on tour in the States, we decided to get on this project going and see if we could shoot some music together. And that's how we started.
Rock Stars from the new Bass Science EP, Out of Step, dropping next week on 1320 Records.
Now, 1320 Records, who Steve is a big part of, it's enormous in electronic music. What did signing with the big STS9 label mean for both you and your music? How did 1320 Records change or maybe help what you were doing?
I think the old scene, the old STS9 scene, is kind of representative of what how shows goes down here in the States, which is really different from Japan, which is where I live now, and Europe, which is where I come from. As in, the electronic music is considered more like a plain DJ set abroad. While in the States, bands like STS9 or Be Gigantic or I don't know, Pretty Lights, they kind of like have a show. What I really liked of the scene here is actually it looks like a rock show, like a live show where people actually go to listen to the music from a specific artist, as opposed to maybe Europe or Asia, where it's more kind of like DJ culture oriented.
You've got a sound that fuses both glitch and dubstep. How were you indoctrinated into those movements? How did you become maybe infatuated with those sounds that you heard and try and meld that with your own styles?
Living in the UK end of 90s, early 2000 was pretty cool, actually, because I got to see the dubstep growing and happening, and I was in London when it was happening, so I was exposed to all the first wave of dubstep producer, and that I think helped me a lot in terms of like acquire a taste for this kind of music.
Tell me about the evolution of your sound from Transmissions from the Planet Dub through We Break Bones and Bang. How would you mark your own sound's progress?
Transmission was a really interesting project because me and Steve, we didn't really know what we were going to do. I just happened to be around his studio in that summer, and we said, yeah, let's do some music. So we didn't really have any goal in terms of what sound we want to achieve. It was more spontaneous in that way. With the time, of course, we tried to get a more solid direction on the kind of sound that we wanted to achieve. And you can probably see that in We Break Bones and Bang. I think We Break Bones and Bang, they have a more grimy, straight-to-your-face kind of sound. I think I've been influenced a lot by the grime culture in UK. Not as much as a grime artist, but more the kind of attitude, how the drums are produced and the kind of pattern you use. They're kind of like slightly different, I think, from the West Coast, from what we know about the West Coast sounds. What do you think?
I think that while you say you've been influenced recently by the grime sound, there's nothing really sloppy or dirty about it in the sense that it is like that very West Coast sound that's very clean, and you're absolutely meticulous about each of your edits and you go for the cleanest samples. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I'm getting.
From the scene or from Bass Science music?
Both, from both, and especially in your music, your edits are very tight and the samples you use are very clean, and that grime aesthetic might be there, but none of the sloppiness or some of the sort of dirtiness comes across, really.
I agree. It's more something that sits on the back of my head, really. It's probably more has to do with drum patterns and the kind of like vibe of drums. I can think of some artists in America that are really doing something close to like a UK grime taste, and like people like Starkey. I think they're kind of like representative of that kind of sound.
What inspired you then to add a live drummer to the mix? Was it being around that 1320 Records scene where there's all these producers that have sort of live elements, STS9 and Big Gigantic also have the live elements incorporated into it? Is that what you sort of look to, and that's why you added Devin Landau as a drummer to your live show?
I think I come from a band background, so for me it makes sense to be on stage with other people playing my music. Before Bass Science, and for a period of time parallel to Bass Science, I was running this project called R&D, which was a dub live band, pretty much, with a bass player, MC, and a drummer. So it's kind of something, having a drummer is something that I was already accustomed with.
And do you feel like the producer and live drummer format, that duo, is going to be a standard setup in electronic music? Do you see a lot more producers shifting to that format in a live setting, especially if they're playing in the United States?
I've seen actually a lot of acts recently incorporating a drummer in their live set. I don't know if that's going to be the standard. I think people and artists should not worry about what's the standard going to be. They should just do what they should just choose a way to deliver the music in the most effective way possible. So it really depends on the project, on the music. I think there is some shows that works really well with the drummer, some others that works a bit less well, but that's really up to the taste.
Bang from Bass Science right here on the UNS podcast.
Speaking of drummers and other gear, what software, what hardware are you using both in the studio and the live setting that's just become crucial to your setup? What sort of toys or gear can you share with our listeners?
I don't think I use anything exotic or special, but I would say that Live Ableton is definitely the only tool that allow me to play my music the way I want during a live show, and there is not really other option out there, not that I'm aware of at least. So I would say that the Live Ableton definitely is something unique.
Is there a certain pattern you like to follow for your live shows, or is there a sense that you're maybe making things up as you go, more reacting to the crowd to see which direction you should move in next?
I try to be honest as much as I can about my music. I'm trying not to please too much the crowd, as in what they expect to listen. I just want to play my music, and I'm not interested in matching standards or having wobble bass because that's what everyone else is doing. I think that's a deterrent for the artistic creativity of an artist. I like to tell a story, my story, and I'm trying to tell my story the best way I can, and I just hope that people on the dance floor can hook with it. But I'm not sure if I could come down to a compromise where I have to change my set to please people, to have people dancing or things like that. It doesn't interest me really.
Okay. So are you planning on hitting the studio next, or are you just gonna continue to tour? I know you're flying all around between Tokyo and California, and then when you have to meet up with your drummer, what's next for you?
So we've finished an EP for 1320 Records, which is coming out next week. It's called Out of Step. We are about to finish another EP for Robox, which is a Doshi label. Doshi is a great dubstep electronic artist from Berlin. And he ran this label called Robox Neotech. And we're going to drop an EP on his label. I think Nasty Nasty is about to drop an EP on his label. And then Staga, I think, it just did like a few weeks ago. So this is something that we've been cooking up for a minute. there's gonna be another 2 releases on Made in Glitch, 1 single with some remixes by David Starfire and Ben Samples and a bunch of other people. And then there is another EP that I wanted to release on Made in Glitch, which is my label. Probably that's gonna happen in March. In between, always working on remixes or track for other people. We have just finished a remix for David Starfire with Eye Catching, literally just finished like a few days ago. Working on remixes for Samples, Ben Samples. I'm working on a project with the Black Rock City All-Stars, which is an amazing hip-hop crew from Reno. We've been playing a few gigs with them, and they've been recording a few tracks for Bass Science. We haven't released yet, but they're going to be out soon. And we are producing some tracks for their own release also. As for touring, well, it's a really an ongoing thing. Never really stop. So I have to kind of like balance my time between producing music for Bass Science, produce music for, I do a lot of advertising and production for the pop industry, especially in Japan, kind of top 40 things, so nothing really exciting on that regards. So I kind of have to balance my time for live shows and studio production.
Absolutely. That sounds like a lot of craziness you've got planned. You've got a very full calendar there.
Yeah, it's awesome. I really like being busy, and I choose this as my work, my life. So I'm super glad that I can actually do that. That's my job. We just announced a bunch of new shows December and January. We have like 10 extra show that we didn't announce. We're gonna do Portland, Spokane, Seattle. And for New Year's Eve, we're going to be around Chicago. We're going to play Portage Theater in Chicago. We're going to play Bloomington day before. Then Tahoe, Reno, Denver, Portland again, Eugene, Salt Lake City. So, it's going to be cool.
I absolutely look forward to catching you out there on the road. Matt B., thanks so much for being on the UNS podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's UNS podcast. Thanks go to Josh Smith with Banjos to Beats Presents and Re-Evolution Media, Devin Landau, and of course, my guest, Matt B. Check theUNS.com for exclusive leaks from the Bass Science EP, Out of Step, coming out next week on 1320 Records. Right now, you're listening to an unreleased Bass Science demo for Made in Glitch, We Are You. If you love theUNS.com and the UNS podcast, show it. Nominate us for an International Dance Music Award by going to wintermusicconference.com and clicking on the IDMA link. Fill out the top section and then vote for the UNS and the UNS podcast in sections 26 and 27. Thanks for your support. Next week on the UNS podcast, the Purple Opera Maestro himself, Marty Party, will be on the program. We'll have exclusive tracks from his EP, Skakuza, streaming on the UNS leading up to the simultaneous release of the album and podcast on Tuesday, December 14th. You don't want to miss it. Remember to visit theUNS.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, or you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, contact me at anand@theUNS.com. That's ANAND@theUNS.com. Catch you next week.